The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why do some religious teachers or Bible teachers talk about soul sleep? What is the definition? And does the Bible really teach it? Thank you, friend, for joining us today here on Grace in Focus. It's always a delight to have you with us. And we come to you from the Grace Evangelical Society. Our home is in North Texas, and we'd love for you to know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org, and looking over some of our many hundreds of articles, books, resources. In our store, Bob Wilkins' latest book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, is available. Come have a look at it all, faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Well, Mike, I think you have a question from someone from a prison. We get handwritten letters at times from prisoners.
Yeah, John here, he wants us to, expand on the topic of resurrection. And he asked, more specifically, when we believers in Christ die, do we go to heaven? And the reason for this is, a fellow brother in Christ brought to his attention a teaching that nobody is in heaven until the rapture. Until then, we remain in the grave. I guess he's saying, this brother is saying that when we die as believers, we just stay in the grave until the rapture comes. Only at that time are we, caught up.
Right.
Right. I'm not sure what he thinks happens to us when we're in the grave. Do we just lie there or we put to sleep or in a coma?
Actually, this doctrine is called soul sleep, and it's held by, I believe, the Seventh-day Adventists and also by the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I'm not sure the person that John's talking about is a brother in Christ or not, because especially in the case of the Jehovah's Witnesses, they do not believe that by faith in Jesus they have everlasting life. They not only have a defective view of the deity of Christ, but they also believe in work salvation. And Seventh-day Adventists, I think it depends on which Seventh-day Adventists you're talking to, but it seems like at least some of them believe in a works salvation system. So whether the person he's talking about actually grasped that by faith in Jesus he's secure forever is an open question. But let's talk about soul sleep. Soul sleep is basically the idea that when we die, we go to the grave, and that's where we are, body, soul, and spirit, and we don't go anywhere. We don't go to the third heaven. We don't go into the presence of the Lord. And there's going to be a general resurrection at the end of the age. And when that occurs, then we're going to be, aware, conscious. And they get it in part from the various places in the New Testament where it talks about those who sleep in Jesus. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul uses the word sleep. And Jesus, when Lazarus dies, he says he's asleep. And there are two different words for sleep, Greek words for sleep. And the one word is used for the death of a believer. And it doesn't mean that they're unconscious. It simply means this is a believer who has died. And actually,
yeah, it's funny you brought up Lazarus. Don't we have an example that he wasn't asleep after he died?
Right. Well, we know that he's brought back from the dead, 4 days later, and we're not told what was going on during those 4 days.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were referring to the rich man and Lazarus.
Yeah. Now, that's a perfect example. In Luke 16:19-31, there's somebody else named Lazarus, and he dies, and he's at Abraham's bosom. And the rich man says to Abraham, have him dip his finger, that is Lazarus, so that he can help me with this torment that I'm in. Well, the rich man is conscious. Lazarus is conscious. Abraham is conscious. Of course, Moses and Elijah appear at the Mount of Transfiguration. They're certainly not. And in the Old Testament, the witch at Endor calls up Samuel, and Samuel actually appears. Why have you disturbed me? He's in, evidently, the place of the dead, Sheol. Of course, we do have two Old Testament people who ascended to the third heaven. Enoch and Elijah ascended there alive. And all the rest of the dead, believing and unbelieving, went to what's in the New Testament is called Hades in Greek, or Sheol in Hebrew. And that's the place of the dead. And they were separated so that in the Luke 16, the one you mentioned, you've got Abraham and them. They're not suffering. They're in the air-conditioned part of Sheol, and the others are suffering. But they're all conscious, both the saved and the unsaved dead. And you see this in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 as well, that the unbelievers who are in Sheol are currently conscious and suffering. And remember, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So it's a misunderstanding of the word sleep that it doesn't mean that they're unconscious. And when Jesus ascended, he took all of the believers from Sheol with him to the third heaven so that they're all in the third heaven now. And of course, we have in the book of Revelation some comments from people who have died who are in heaven, who are making comments during the tribulation period. So the idea that when a believer dies, he simply is unconscious, that's incorrect.
So the use of the term sleep is actually a metaphor for having died, not really that they're literally sleeping. We don't have any examples of someone, of a picture of some person who had died and now they're sleeping in the grave.
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
Now, when you talk about Lazarus, what happened during the 4 days when he was dead?
Yeah.
Now, we don't know exactly. Did he go to the third heaven for 4 days and then come back? We're not told. It's possible that when he died, it was an extended near-death experience. You know, there have been lots of people, they call them NDEs. There have been lots of people who have been on the operating table or whatever, and they can actually see down on the operating table as evidently their spirit has ascended above the table or their soul, we're not sure which one, and they're looking down, but then they are brought back with the shock paddles. Well, maybe that was something like that with Lazarus for 4 days. I don't know. Or maybe he was with the Lord in the third heaven for 4 days. We're not told that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to know what happened in his case. But we know with Jesus that when he died, he went to paradise, right? And
right.
So did the thief on the cross that was a believer.
Right. That's what he told, today you will be with me in paradise.
Yeah. And paradise, by the way, there wasn't the third heaven. Paradise mm-hmm. was the good part of Sheol. We know that because Jesus was dead for 3 days. Well, that means there was a separation of his body from his soul and spirit, and he didn't go directly to the third heaven because he didn't ascend to the third heaven until 40 days after his resurrection. So, yeah, we know that the believer who dies is with the Lord, absent from the body, is present with the Lord, and they have some sort of intermediate body, because they can be seen like, you know, Moses, who died, mm-hmm. appears at the Mount of Transfiguration. He has some sort of a body.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Samuel when he appears with the witch at Endor. He's got some sort of a body. You can see the appearance of an old man there. But we don't yet get our glorified bodies until the rapture. And that's 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18.
Yeah, and these appearances are always of conscious individuals, not
right.
anybody sleeping.
Right, right, right. And, of course, I would say this to you, John, and that is we really don't know exactly what the believers who have died are doing in the third heaven. Certainly, they're enjoying fellowship with other believers. Certainly, they're worshiping God. But how are they experiencing time? My guess, and I've said this before on this show, is that they're experiencing time in a different way than we experience it now. Remember, Peter said in 2 Peter 3:8, with the Lord a thousand years is as a day. So it's possible that someone who died in the year 1024 has experienced one day. In other words, the way they would think of it, it's only been a day since I died. And if the rapture occurred today, they would think they missed it by one day.
Right.
And that someone who died, let's say, 20 years ago may have only experienced like 20 minutes worth of time. So I don't think they're probably experiencing time the way we do. Like, wow, if it was 1,000 years ago, well, let's see, that would be, what, 100 lifetimes?
Yeah.
You know, something like that, 50 lifetimes? It's been, they don't, I don't think they look at it that way. I guess that would be if it was 1,000 years ago, that'd be 10 lifetimes or 20 lifetimes or something.
Yeah.
They don't look at it that way, I don't think.
Yeah, this brings to me something that Ralph Grant told me many years ago when he said, you know, as I've gotten older, Ralph was a former board member of GS, said, you know, I've noticed that time seems to have gotten quicker. You know, I remember even for myself when I was in elementary school, it seemed to be forever before summer vacation would come.
Right.
But now, now that I'm 50 plus, it's like, boy, these years go by really quick now.
Yeah, and let me tell you, when you're 70 plus, it's even more. Ralph was right. I see that in my own experience, that from one year to the next really moves. I mean, I was teaching a second-year Greek class earlier today, and one of the guys said that he took first-year Greek in 2008. And so it's been a long time, 16 years, mm-hmm. between first-year Greek and second-year Greek. And I was thinking, yeah, well, I took first-year Greek in 78, which is, what, 46 years? Almost 50 years ago since I took first-year Greek. But yet, it was like yesterday.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I remember Sharon and I drove to Dallas from North Carolina, and we were fresh starting in summer school, taking first-year Greek. And you know, I graduated from Dallas Seminary in 82. That's 42 years ago, and it was like yesterday. So time really does kind of fly the older we get, but I wonder if people in heaven are like that. But we're really not told what they're doing, but we are told they're conscious.
Yeah.
We are told, you know, that they're not experiencing any pain or suffering or sorrow, and they're experiencing joy. But it's speculation as to what they're doing, but the best speculation we have is that they fellowship with other believers who are there, and certainly some of their time is spent in worship.
Yeah, and then that period of time between time they die to the time of the rapture, in light of eternity, that time actually is very brief.
It's going to seem like a snap.
Very
even
good.
If they died in the first century.
Right.
So anyway, I really like this question and appreciate it, and in the meantime,
keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. On our next episode, some call it easy believism. Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.